this is Debbie Weil. I welcome you to another interview on the topic of writing, designing, publishing, or marketing a short ebook.
Tim, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to ask you to help us review that very first question we started with at the beginning of Beta Author Boost, and which is, why are you writing a book? What is your business goal? Talk a little bit about why that's such an important question to answer before thinking about how to market your book.
Well, I think the starting with the end in mind really helps, because it helps you understand how to craft your book and what kind of marketing you're going to do for the book. And it allows you to actually plan ahead. It allows you to, as you're actually writing the book, put things in the book that are specific to what you're shooting for with the book. And if you do that from the very beginning, it allows you to really write a book that meets your goal, instead of later trying to figure out at the end what you want to do, and you end up retrofitting a lot of things or trying to redo a lot of things, especially when we're talking about self-publishing small books like this, where you have complete control over the content. You can even think through how the book will drive people back to your website or drive people to contact you, and really put that in from the beginning. Where if you wait to the end, a lot of times you either can't do what you were hoping to, or you have to go back and change a lot of stuff. And so really focusing on that end goal up front, you know, just helps you do that planning. So let me give an example. A good friend of mine recently self-published a small book. It's about 100 pages. It's called A Nonprofit Narrative. His name is Dan Portnoy. And what he did was he wanted a way that he could spread his name to a lot of nonprofits in a very kind of easy way, without, you know, cold calling or sending brochures or something like that. And since a book is a gift, you know, first and foremost, he decided to do this, and then he has it for sale, and he's done some promotion, but the number one thing he's doing is buying copies and giving it away to everybody he knows in the nonprofit sector. And he's giving it to past clients. One of his clients is the United Way of Los Angeles, and he gave several copies to the CEO, who's going to pass it on to heads of other United Ways. And he kind of knew this from the beginning, that this was going to be his plan. And so he wrote the book in a way that is really great information. You know, obviously it's great information. You want to write a great book that stands on its own, but it also shows that he's an expert in what he does. And so everybody that gets that book is going to assume that he's the expert. And just, I mean, the book's only been out a little while, and he's already gotten several speaking opportunities because of the book. He's gotten several leads for new clients. One of them has already turned into a new client. And it's a really great thing that he can give out to anybody, and it turns into new clients. And so that allows, you know, that's a very different goal of selling a lot of books, or a different goal than just trying to get speaking events. The main goal was to get clients. And so he wrote a book that supported that and had the marketing plan in place from the beginning.
And Tim, I went and looked up his book on Amazon, and it looks great. And it's available both in print, and I'm assuming he's doing some sort of print on demand, although I don't know that for sure, and also for Kindle, because that was another speaker we had. We talked really interesting about some of the print options when you're self-publishing. So what you're talking about in terms of giving away the book or printed copies, and I think you tell me they would probably cost him $2 a copy. I think that's what you said.
Yep. That's right.
So can you – but there's another – so this is very, very important, and we haven't really – deeply explored this enough in the program, whether, you know, it makes more sense, given the topic of your book, to also come out immediately with a print version. But what are your, you know, how important is that? And let me just say, there is a guy named Lewis, I think it's Howe or Howes, and I will provide the URL to his book. He's written a book about how to do a webinar to get more business. And I forget the name of it. It's something like that. It's not any sort of clever name. And it's only available for Kindle. And it's not even that well written, and there's typos in it, but it's brilliant because it tells you, and also it's sponsored by Citrix, you know, the go-to webinar people. And you read the book and you think, oh, yeah, gee, I you know, I might need to know more about this. I need someone to help me. learn how to do great webinars. And, of course, it has information in it. And that's interesting because it's a Kindle-only book. But any thoughts on, digital-only books versus having to have that print companion in order to use it for business?
Well, you know, with the print-on-demand, it's really easy to do both. So the only additional cost to get it ready for print is that getting it laid out and ready for the printer. But from there, everything's print-on-demand. So, Dan will order maybe 50 copies, and then when he runs out, he'll order 20 more. Or he can order them and have them shipped somewhere. He can even order if he wants, if he wants hardback copies, he can even order hardback copies. And you can do that independently of having it for sale on Amazon and both. But since it's print on demand, it's not like he's carrying any kind of inventory. And if somebody does buy it on Amazon, it just comes out of what he makes. And so he's not spending any extra money. So in general, I don't really see a downside in making available print as well. You know, again, it depends on your goals and what you're doing. But I think that there's still, where I've seen more and more reports of fiction going more and more e-book. I think there's still something in the business book market where people like to have print copies. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, but I don't have an opinion either way. It again depends on your goal. So for Dan, he knew he wanted to hand out physical copies, so he wanted to make sure that he had it ready to print.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't want to leave anyone in confusion here. The purpose of the Beta Author Booth was to get the Kindle edition out there. But as we all know, and having listened to the various speakers we had, by the time you've got the manuscript to that point, and you found an ebook formatter and you found a cover designer, it's very little work involved to go that next step and make sure the inside of the book is laid out and do print on demand. So it wasn't that I was saying don't do it. I was saying, just get that first step out there, because once you're that far, it's a lot easier to continue and get the print version.
And one more thing, since we're talking about this, starting with the end game in mind, and I mentioned this, but I really want to talk about how important it is. You want to think ahead about what the next step is for people after they've read this book. Do you want them going to your website to download resources you have available? Do you want them contacting you? You want to make sure you're baking the marketing in the book. So, again, it's not like the book is a sales pitch for you. It should be a standalone idea that, people feel like they get their money's worth. But at the same time, there are lots of interesting ways where you can drive people back to your own marketing funnel on your website or to contact you. And so you want to be thinking ahead on that, too, of how you can weave that into the book. If you refer to a video, have a link to a video on your website. If you refer to, a workbook that they can download for free, link to that on your website. Think about what kind of marketing funnel you're going to have behind the scenes to support the book as well. And so, again, starting from the beginning, if you're thinking about that kind of stuff, you can think about that as you write the book and how it's all going to work together.
Well, Tim, that's great. I mean, you're leading me right to where I'd like us to go with this conversation. Let's talk about the website that supports the book. Now, for the beta authors listening in and in the program, they may or may not want to do a whole separate website, but anyone can do at least a dedicated page. So we'll just call it a site. It could be one page on your current site, or it could be a standalone site. What should happen on that page to fully leverage, the potential of your book as a business builder?
Well, a couple of things that would seem like common sense, but it is always surprising to me how many authors out there aren't doing some of the very, very simple things. So first off, you want to make sure it's very clear that you have a book for sale. I don't know how many author websites I've gone to, and there's no picture of the book. The cover's not even there. And so you want to make sure that people know it's a book. And you have to look at it with, as much as you possibly can, fresh eyes. People that are landing here that don't know who you are, don't know about your book, don't know anything, is it going to be extremely clear that you have a book for sale. And so there's a really great tool called Cover Action Pro. It's a little technical. It works with Photoshop, but any designer that you have, any Photoshop designer that you have should be able to use it. And you can render digital, you can render an image with, all you have to have is the cover design, and it can render an image, a paperback, a hardback,
so that you can actually use
it on your website. And so it looks, so it's very, very clear. There's a picture of a book on your website. That's really important. And then you need to have very clearly how they can buy the book. So have a link to Amazon, use their logo on the button so that it's very clear. Sometimes there's just like a little tiny link that says buy at Amazon.com. You know, people are very visual. They click on pictures. They pay attention to pictures much, much more than they do text. So anytime you can use a picture, especially with a brand as well recognized as Amazon, you know, use a picture, use Amazon's logo, buy Amazon. So you want to have very clearly picture of the book and where they can buy it. From there, you want to give them something that they can do if they're not ready to buy the book, and that should be signing up for your email newsletter. And if you use a service like MailChimp, it's free. You can get started for free up to 2,000 subscribers. And give them a chance to download maybe the intro to the book. Maybe it's the part that's for free on the Kindle edition, you know, if they try it out. But give them a way where they can give you their email address in exchange for getting a portion of the book for free so they can try it out. But the biggest thing, if they're not going to buy the book at this point, you want to get them to give you permission to stay in contact with them so you can continue to market the book. And so you want to have a way for them to get in contact with you in that way and actually get into your marketing funnel. And from there, it's very simple things. So you need to have an about page so they can read about you. You need to have a contact page. You need to have some stuff that builds your credibility. So if it's a business book and you have worked with big-name clients, you know, you need to have their logos on there. You need to have testimonials from your clients or testimonials from people that have read the book on the website. You want to really reduce, you know, on Amazon, one of the biggest drivers of sales is those customer reviews. Well, you need that same thing on your website. So anything you can do to show your credibility, reduce the risk on the side of the reader so that they'll feel comfortable buying the book. Also have it very clear how they can contact you. If you're interested in being hired to speak, make sure there's a speaking page on there and have either a speaker's reel or a video of you speaking for. If you want to get hired to do this kind of stuff, have a very clear page on there, you know, hire me or consulting or something like that. You know, you just want to think through what are the top 3 to 5 things you want people to do when they come to that book website and make sure they're very, very clear and hard to miss. You don't want people coming to the website because they linked over from the book and they can't figure out how to buy it, or they can't figure out how to send you an email. Or if somebody heard about the book and thinks you might be good for a conference, that they can't figure out how to hire you to speak. And so the biggest thing is don't get cute. Don't get fancy. A lot of times people will, like, come up with fancy words for something, you know, instead of just saying, buy it here, hire me. You know, those kind of things. You want it very, very, very clear. You know, people, when they're surfing the Internet, just think about how you do it. You know, they're drinking a cup of coffee, they're watching TV, they're yelling at their kids. You know, like, this, they're not paying 100% attention. They're probably not even paying 50% attention to what they're doing. So you want to make it very, very clear what's going on.
You know, Tim, you said something that just sort of crystallized for me as you were speaking, which is that, and I've never actually said this just like this, but it's absolutely essential to make clear on your website or this page what the connection is between your book, the connection is between your book and your business, meaning between your book and hire me, like connect the dots for the reader or the visitor to your site. And I know, I even know for myself that it's really easy to forget to do this, to just figure, well, the reader will see I have a book about marketing to small businesses, so they'll know they should hire me to do a marketing audit for a small business. Well, the answer is no. They might not know that. It might not be clear.
Right.
So if you think of it in those terms, like what's that connection? I mean, help them do it. Close, dot all those, well, I'm not saying this right. You know, figure out what all the points are on that line between seeing the cover of the book and hiring you, because that's why. Although some of us just want to feel like we've written a book, but for most business authors, it's the point is to get something, to get more business.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I really can't express that idea of being clear more, because I would say a large majority of websites out there for authors are not clear about what they want people to do. The books are hidden. Their call to action is hidden. I think a lot of times it's a combination of being kind of scared of marketing yourself or pushing too hard and just not knowing. And so a couple ways to make sure you're doing this, you can do some user testing. Now, you can do it on your own by just, asking some colleagues or asking some friends that really don't maybe haven't heard what you're working on, and just send them the website and ask them, were you able to find the book? What do you think you should do when you go to this website? If you wanted to hire me to speak, where would you click? And have them do that. A website that's great for this, it's really, really great for this, it's called usertesting.com.
Hmm.
And it costs some money, but it's really neat because it allows you to submit your website along with some questions like what I just said, how would you do this? Do I have anything for sale? If I do, what is it? And it records people actually testing through the website, like visiting your website, answering your questions, and actually hearing them talk through as they browse your website, and you will be astonished at the things that people can't figure out, the things that people can't find.
Wow, that's such an interesting idea, because it's making me think that the book is a great excuse, even if for those who are listening in or maybe haven't finished writing, but it's a great excuse to reevaluate what you're doing online with your site in terms of getting business and showcasing your business. And the book is a great way to kind of, reinvent what your online presence is and what you're trying to get out of it. That's very interesting. And it's funny, sometimes these things are so obvious, as you say, they stare us in the face, and it's easy to just sort of not get it in a way that makes sense to visitors. Did you want to talk about that more? Because I wanted, or could we talk about growing your tribe, which is such a great expression. And I think a lot of people, particularly those who don't have a big presence on Facebook or Twitter, are wondering about. But did you have anything more to say about the website?
No, we can move on. I think I covered everything there. And when it comes, when it comes to anything with its marketing or your website or even writing the book, the overarching idea is that you are trying to be relentlessly helpful. If you haven't heard of Kathy Sierra, you should really look up Kathy Sierra, and there's a I'll send you the link to a video that I'd love for everybody to watch. And she talks about the publishing world.
But oh, yeah, no, I've seen that. Great one.
And she talks a lot about, if you are writing a book that is relentlessly helpful, that is the number one thing you should do, and that is the number one thing you can do for marketing as well. And when we look at things like Twitter or Facebook or your website or email marketing or any of these things, you want to focus first on how can I be most helpful to the people that are going to read my book, the people that are going to hire me, the people that are going to read my blog, all of these things. And focus on that 100%, and all of these other things are just tools to do that. And what you find is that as long as you're being relentlessly helpful, you can get away with marketing. You won't come across as being too salesy, all of this stuff. And so focusing on that first is the number one way you're going to build your tribe. The other thing that you want to focus on is making sure that there are no dead ends when it comes to your marketing. This is one of the things I see a lot, is that I was talking to an author. I was talking to an author yesterday, and he was telling me, he said, you know, I have people that email me all the time that are like, you know, I read your book, and I bought 3 copies for friends. And I said, well, what do you tell them to do after that? And he's like, I don't know. I just say thanks. And I'm like, you have this huge fan that is already promoting your book. You need to have something in place to help them continue to promote the book. Same thing goes for if you have an email list. Most people throw up an email list, and then when people sign up, you don't hear from them again for 6 months. Your name's just sitting there. Well, you want to make sure, if, you know, if people have taken the step to actually sign up for your email list, are they going into something that will continue to market to them and invite them to go deeper? And if somebody starts following you on Twitter, you know, how are you engaging with them? Are you constantly giving them ways to go deeper into what you're doing? And so looking at all of these things is working together, and everything should be cyclical. There should be no dead end to your marketing where people can't go any further. And Alan Weiss, who has written a ton of books, and he's kind of the consultant, he talks about this thing called the accelerant curve. And, again, if we're talking about business books here, this is very applicable. People should be able to interact with you on all price scales. So from free, you know, that would be something like blog and Twitter and email list, to, you know, $10 or $20, which would be your book, all the way up to, you know, hiring you for the day, you know, and everywhere in between. And basically everything should be supporting everything. So if you want your book to turn into a consulting client, you know, have you actually thought through that process of what is it going to take for somebody to buy the book and then become a consulting client? And if you're just hoping that they might call you, you know, that may happen a little bit, but if you actually think through that process and make sure there's actually a roadmap for them to follow, it's going to be much more successful. And so, you know, we're talking about building a tribe, and the, you know, one of the most important things when it comes to building a tribe is communication, and always giving people something to do next.
Well, how creative! I just love the way you're talking about that. It's funny because I know exactly what you mean. And as you're speaking, Tim, I can picture these dead ends in my marketing, and it's giving me the shivers because I know it could be better. I mean, I know I could fix it. But how creative do you need to be? For example, you talked about think through the process of between buying the book and hiring, and hiring you for consulting. Do you need to, let's think about it, if they buy the book from Amazon, I mean, you have to, so much thinking you have to do, so many steps. So buy the book from Amazon, you're not going to have their email. But if they email you afterwards, because your email is really clear on your website, it's really clear how to contact you, or you have a contact page, and say, I loved your book, you could ask them to post a review to Amazon, although that can be very difficult. A lot of people won't do that. You could offer them a free 30-minute consultation, you know, click here and sign up. Or what are some other ideas? I mean, how creative do you have to get to sort of lure them in a very relentlessly helpful, not salesy way?
Well, again, this always goes back to your goal. So, and one of the first things I would ask, you know, I ask any author is, you know, what's your goal with the book? And that same author I was talking to yesterday, and I think I told you this story, Debbie, you know, he doesn't need the money from selling his book. He's kind of inundated with clients, and he's not really interested in speaking much more than he already is. I'm like, why do you want to sell more books? What, you know, what is the point of this? He said, well, because the more my book gets out there, the cooler my life is. In fact, I just got back from shooting machine guns in Vegas with a bunch of people that wanted me to speak to their salesmen. You know, and it's like, so, you know, his goal is to sell more books so his life can be cooler. You know, so it's always coming back to your goal. But if somebody emails, if you're looking for more clients, and somebody emails you about how much they love the book and, you know, how much they love the insights, I would offer to get on the phone with them and just talk to them for 20 minutes and just say, I'd like to hear more about the book and what you're working on. And I guarantee you a lot of those will turn into clients. Now, if you're looking to just sell lots of copies of the book, if somebody emails you that, you should email them something that they could send to six people for free and just say, hey, you know, here's a portion of my book. It's more than you can download anywhere else. It's not just the first, it's not just the introduction, it's the introduction and first two chapters. You know, I don't send this out to many people, but I'd love for you to take a look. And, you know, if you love the book, feel free to send it to whoever you want. And on that, and in that PDF that you send, there's links at the end of it to buy the book. And so you give them a next step. And again, always thinking with that goal in mind, you should have, and again, you know, you just, you mentioned one thing about, you know, you don't have their email address or anything when they buy from Amazon, but you should be somewhere in your book inviting them to contact you. I'd love to hear how you like the book. Here's my email address. Email me. You know, even, you know, authors like Dan Pink on every one of his books since the paperback of Free Agent Nation, I think, so all four books, he invites readers to email him. And so it's not, this isn't just for, you know, people, you know, like us that are, you know, going to be fighting to sell a few hundred copies. Like, this is the way that you connect with readers. And from there, you can kind of do whatever you want. You can show them the next path. You know, for me, if somebody contacted me and they weren't right to be a client, I would invite them to join my email list because then they'll get lots of content and I'll have them in a funnel that I could eventually sell something else to them. And so keeping that in mind and goal, get creative. You know, fill in that. But the important thing is you got to fill in that gap for people. They're not going to automatically do things, but if you invite them to do things, they will.
Tim, talk a little bit more about free content that's based on the book to, again, get people kind of into your clutches, but in a relentlessly helpful way. So, for example, you said if someone sent an email, you could send them back and say, here's a really special, you know, PDF extract. Is that for, perhaps maybe you have several different PDF versions of your book, PDF versus .mobi or EPUB, so that you can use them in different ways. And they, of course, they're going to look totally different. I mean, they could be designed. They could have lots of colors. They could all very clearly state kind of how to get in touch with you and how to work with you. Is that, does that make any sense? Because people do ask me that, and I think it's a very legitimate question. What about, you know, why do I need to do this as a Kindle ebook if it's digital? Why don't I just make a PDF? Can you do both? Can you have them play off each other? Go ahead.
Yeah, the answer to everything is kind of it depends. And I know, you know, we haven't been talking that long. I'm already hammering the point, but it comes back to your goals. You know, there is a difference between having your book available on Amazon as Kindle download or as a print book that is different than just having a PDF for sale on your website. You know, you've published a book, you know, like We know the technology details are not that different, but the outside appearance of that are two different things. But when you're talking about free content, you know, it just depends. You know, I'm working with one author now who are putting together a series of videos that we're going to give away to people that pre-order the book. You know, and so really simple, set up a camera. He does a series of videos. It'll probably be a total of 30 to 45 minutes worth of content, and we're going to make that available to people that pre-order the book. You know, the problem nowadays is not being able to do something. It's figuring out what to do. And so I would say get creative, try different things, and, again, think it. Constantly be putting yourself in the reader's shoes of what do you think they would want. A really great book on this topic of creating content, free content, like podcasts, blogs, email newsletters, all white papers, all this kind of stuff, is a book called Content Rules by Ann Hanley and C.C. Chapman. Ann Hanley started MarketingProfs.com.
Yeah, I know. That's a great book. I'll add that to our list. Content Rules, R-U-L-E-S. It is a good one.
And so, But always make sure that everything you do is funneling people to the next choice. One of the things that drives me crazy is a lot of times I'll request, you know, a portion of the book that we can give away on the website from the publisher, and they just send me this file that is literally just that portion of the book. There's no color to it. The cover's not embedded in it, and there's no call to action. And so I end up taking that and, like, completely editing it myself so that, you know, it has a full-color cover when you open it, and the last page is, like, the author's bio, blurbs from the book, and then how you can buy the book, because people are going to get to the end of that thing and wonder how they can buy it. And so always be thinking through, when they're done with this, what do I have them do next? And that should be across all marketing platforms. When you're done giving a talk, how do they find out more? When you're done, when they're done reading your book, what should they do next? When they visited your website, what should they be doing next? That kind of thing.
Yeah, and Tim, I want to reemphasize what you said about publishing it as a, or making it available, your book as a PDF versus publishing it on Kindle. And this is really sort of the premise underlying Veda Author Booth, which is that at least for right now, at least where we are in this publishing revolution, what makes you, and it's a little artificial, but what makes you an author is to be able to say, oh, yeah, go to my Amazon page, there's my book. So I guess in terms of this really strategic thinking, we should do that. We should definitely do that, and also probably have a print-on-demand printed version. But then in addition, there can be different forms and pieces of the book that are free content, a PDF, I love the video idea, that you use to both sell the book and sell your other services, so you always have something to give out. So, you know, Tim, it's just your comments are very interesting and very, very on point, because I'm thinking some of those in the program are still working on their book, and I think this is great sort of fresh thinking to infuse into their, as you're sitting there writing, thinking, you know, writing the book, as in, now let's see if I, you know, could I actually make these next five sections the basis of a workshop I'll give, rather than finishing the book, publishing the book, saying, you know what, I think I'm going to do a workshop based on the book, and then going back and trying to retrofit what's in the book. And that's not something we talk about quite enough early on in the course, but I think it's really, really good and clear thinking. I hope you agree with me.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk, you know what we should do? It is, let's take a couple of questions. Let me click over here. And Tim, if that's okay, we have a couple minutes here before 5 o'clock. And does anyone on the call want to ask Tim a question or make any kind of remark based on what you've heard?
This is Maisie, and I have a question. A lot of the things that you talked about, Tim, some of the things I kind of knew, and some of the things when you said them, you go, oh, yes, 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 that's why I've seen that. Is there any book or anything where I can kind of get an idea of all the possibilities that are out there so that as I'm writing my book, I can make a better determination of which of those things I might want to be using?
Yeah, there's several books out there. That I would say there's no one book that encapsulates it all.
Right.
But let me give some recommendations. So if you're new to the understanding of tribes, you need to read Tribes by Seth Godin. It's very lean on how to, but it really will shift your paradigm in what you think marketing is. If you're thinking about just the marketing side of things, The New Rules of Marketing and PR by David Meerman Scott is a good place to start, because it kind of opens up all the possibilities that are out there for marketing. When we think about these systems, a really good book that might seem a little counterintuitive, but if you read it with this in mind, is called The Referral Engine by John Jantz. And it's a great book. By the end of that, you will start having an understanding of how all of these things should feed each other. And the book is for, like, small business owners that, you know, want to create a system that keeps bringing in more referrals. Well, that's similar to what you're doing as an author. And so, you know, reading that book and thinking about how your book fits into these systems is really important too. Content rules, like I mentioned, for coming up with content. You know, then there's some classics that if you haven't heard of, you should really read, like Permission Marketing. That's also a Seth Godin title, Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini, is a fantastic book. If you haven't read the Chip and Dan Heath books, Made to Stick and Switch, you should definitely read those as well. But, yeah, there's no kind of one book I've seen that does a good job of talking about marketing. All of the ones specifically for authors mostly suck and are outdated. And a lot of, and also be careful of anything. So, you know, we always want to be focused on the end game in mind and looking at what has the biggest impact, what's bringing in the most clients, what's bringing in the most book sales, these things. And don't get caught reading these books that are like Facebook specific or Twitter specific or very specific to a tool. It's like trying to learn how to use a hammer really well when you have no idea what you're trying to build. Okay. And so,
I want to second that. That's really good advice because there's so many books out there. So, Tim, I hate to ask this, but you've told me you're working on a book. Is it perchance on this topic or is it on something else?
Yes, I'm working on a book and I have the manuscript's done. I'm getting feedback from initial people, and it's all been not surprisingly good, I guess. I think it's good, but it's been really good. But I'm still probably about 3 months out, and it is on this topic. The tentative title is Relentlessly Helpful, and it's about how authors can correctly do marketing. So if you want to make sure, here I'm going to plug myself. If you want to make
sure
that, you know, when it comes out, go to my website. It's Outthink Group. That's OUTTHINKGROUP.com and sign up for the newsletter. I'll start sending you stuff every week automatically, and I'll make sure you know when the book comes out.
Right. Thank you. By the way, I've already given them your URL about 3 times, but I'll make that 4 and 5 times.
Okay.
Anyone else there, Bill or Hillary? You're being very quiet.
Yes. No, I'm sorry. You were on mute. My question is about what a book marketing plan actually looks like, because you sort of talked around it but didn't really talk about it. Like, what does it look like? How do you think about what strategies to use? How do you make a marketing plan? How do you put measurable things in there, all that? Or will that be in your book too?
I think we did sort of talk about a lot of that, but one of the things you and I talked about yesterday was using a litmus test of, you know, say make a list of marketing strategies, which might include guest blogging for the Huffington Post, and then seeing what the results are, and then taking those results and applying them to your, you know, what's your business goal. Because we didn't talk specifically about how to write down a marketing plan, but do you have a – do you have an answer to that, or do you want to talk about the litmus test?
Yeah. So, again, there is no kind of blueprint that's going to work for everybody. But how you think about the marketing plan is, again, start with the end in mind and then work backwards from there of how you're going to get people to do certain things. So let me give an example. Josh Kaufman wrote a book called The Personal MBA. It came out at the beginning of last year. And his goal with that book was obviously to sell a lot of copies. And he sold about 65,000 copies of the book so far. But he did it with almost no traditional media, and he's traveled exactly one time to promote the book. So none of the traditional ways to promote the book. And what he did is he thought long and hard about how he can move everybody that comes to his website to buy the book. And so he, the goal was, I want to sell as many copies of this book as possible. And the framework was, I'm going to do it all through my website and my email list. And so then he was able to put those together in an interesting way that got to those goals. So, you know, he set up evergreen content that would bring in new people to the website. And he made sure when people landed on the website, it was very clear that they should be buying the book and or signing up for the email list. And when they signed up for the email list, he had autoresponders that they automatically got that upsold the book. And so he began with these the end in mind and constraints of I'm not going to travel, I'm not going to do a lot of traditional media, and then he put together a system that fit that and got him towards his goal. And what I was talking about with litmus tests is, you know, 20 years ago, it was pretty simple to market a book, and your publisher did most of it for you. But it's like, you know, you come out with a book, do a book tour, get on the radio or TV a couple times, and then you can go right back into your cave and start writing again. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, that's not how it is anymore. In fact, you have too many choices. There's too many things you can possibly do to promote your book. So as you think through all of these options, and as you're making your book marketing plan and start thinking through, well, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this, you should have litmus tests in place that help you answer a question of whether or not you should do something. So, for instance, the example I gave was one of my clients got invited to write for the Huffington Post, which is much easier than you may think. And, you know, she was struggling with, you know, should I do this, should I not do this? And I said, well, it's really simple. We do a couple posts on the Huffington Post. We link it back to your website. And right now she's working on her book, so her main goal is to build her email list. And we have those people, and we try to get all those people to sign up for the email list. We put that into our analytics, like Google Analytics, and we just look and see if it works. If it works, keep doing it. If it doesn't work, stop doing it and try something new. And so when you're looking at your marketing plans, again, don't get caught up thinking about how am I going to use Twitter or how am I going to use Facebook or how am I going to do this. Don't assume that you're going to do any one thing. You start with, okay, my goal is to sell books, or my goal is to get clients off of this book. And you figure out what things to try and try them, and if they don't get you to your end goal, you throw them out and you try something new.
Tim, I think that's very helpful. And Hillary, we can talk about that a little bit with a little time next week. And I think the fact that you're writing about content, and that's sort of your specialty, is really cool, because I think you probably have way more ideas than you realize.
I have a ton of ideas. I have too many ideas, exactly what Tim just said. I mean, there's a million things you could do, but what you can't do is do them all at the same time, because then it's just overwhelming. And that's my biggest challenge now, is how do I write this book that captures everything I know and still write other things and still actually do my work? That's my personal biggest challenge, but that's just me.
I think you and many others, and I think the answer to that is to be continued and to look again at some of your process and methodologies and scheduling and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, Tim, were you going to say something?
No, I mean, you know, that's a very common problem, and there's a couple things. I can't get too deep in with the time we have, but one thing is to always be looking at what you're already producing. A lot of people are producing a lot of content that they don't even look at as possible uses. And I think of these as like DVD extras. You know, if you look at a book or you look at a movie, and, you know, when you get the DVD, it has all these, like, special features. Well, a lot of times it's stuff that's already been created, whether it's cutscenes or interviews with actors or directors or whatever. It was stuff that was either already created or really easy to do because everybody was there already. And so are you creating any content? You know, if you write a book, a lot of times you leave out a bunch of stuff because you don't have room in the book, or it doesn't make sense, or this is stuff you can use to build your platform. Same thing for, you know, if you do a talk somewhere, make sure it gets recorded and that's something you can release. And so look for creative ways to do everything. And then, of course, the biggest thing that I see a lot of authors make mistake with is just not having a good productivity plan that make it really easy to stay on task and get their stuff done. So, you know, for me, the first 2 hours of my workday are dedicated to content creation. And if somebody interrupts that, they better be bleeding. Otherwise, I'm going to be upset. You know, so I have, like, time in my schedule that is locked out. Nobody's allowed to touch it. That is content creation. And you find that the rest of your life falls into place. You know, I have a lot of clients. I'm very busy, but I'm still able to get everything done if I put those things in first. And so having a plan in place to make sure that you get the most important things done first thing in the morning. Authors have to have a very tight productivity plan in place because writing is hard and writing is time consuming and writing is sometimes the last thing you actually want to do. So you have to set yourself up for it. It's really hard to fail.
But Tim, I couldn't agree more. I think that's what I was talking about earlier, saying that what is what is it that put the gun to my head and make me do it? What is it? And Hillary, we'll talk about it a little bit, but it's, maybe it is the first 2 hours, maybe it's the first hour, maybe it's the last hour, but I think that we just were not tough enough on ourselves, I think, during the past 8 weeks, because it all seems kind of overwhelming, but it's an excellent suggestion, and again, it's sort of simple and straightforward. It's sort of like don't check your email, which a lot of us do first thing, but...
Right.
So we'll, to be continued, but I think, Tim, I really think you just, touched on a couple of things that have been so important that we have talked about, during the program, and that I hope will make everyone think much, much bigger about, what is this thing? What is this book? Why are we writing it? What can it lead to? How do all these pieces fit together? And just keep trying, keep taking steps forward, and it will, and something, magical will happen. And I think you have to believe that. And I do, which is why I'm so glad you guys went on this journey and where the journey isn't done and to be continued. We're always in beta. That's what I say, Tim. So I think with that we should say, because we've run way over the hour here, Tim, thank you so, so very much for joining us, for helping us think bigger and think more. And thanks to everyone for listening today. And I will be in touch. Thank you, guys.